In my decade of leading projects, I've learned one thing very clearly. Blame isn't about failure, it's actually feedback. What if mastering blame was the ultimate key to your success? You mind if I share a short story with you? I remember when I was responsible for leading this critical, and I do mean critical, server hardware upgrade. Exceptions were very, very high, with the CIO himself personally invested and closely watching our progress. Everything seemed flawless until that very moment when we powered up the new servers. The CIO stood there proudly and declared, "And now we're officially live." At that exact moment, every server in the data center went dark. Complete outage. I mean, total silence. Every eye in the room instantly shifted towards you know who, me. I could feel the blame accumulating around me like a thunderstorm about to break. But instead of panicking, I paused calmly and said with a confident smile, "Well, it looks like we've just discovered a valuable lesson about our new hardware." The CIO stared at me. He was a little speechless for a moment, then unexpectedly bursted into laughter. Everyone else quickly joined in and instantly dissolving the tension. We immediately regrouped, swiftly identified a crucial configuration issue. Within just a few hours, all servers were back online and fully operational. Later, during our project retrospective, the CIO stunned the team by openly admitting, "Honestly, I'm grateful this happened today. Without it, we wouldn't have truly recognized just how strong and resilient this team was." Therefore, that experience fundamentally changed my mindset. It taught me to replace words of success or failure with win or learn. And in today's episode, I'm going to show you exactly how adopting this powerful win-learn mindset can completely transform your approach to project management from turning every setback into your greatest opportunity. Point number one, practice the win-learn mindset. See, when you frame project outcomes as a win or learn, not a success or failure, you shift stakeholders from blame to lessons learned. Ooh, I like that. Let me tell you why I like that, family, is because it's important when you frame projects as opportunity for learning rather than a simple successful failure scenario. This prompts actual resilience. It fosters a culture that mostly reflects then being one of those that actually is finger pointing, you know what I mean, and it inclines the opportunity for growth, meaning we're focused on improvement. Experiment with these actionable tips. Implement a formal learning retrospective. All I'm saying here is just conduct a structured post-project review that you want to understand what did we learn rather than emphasizing on the mistakes. This reinforces positive lessons learned. The next one, communicate lessons openly and consistently. Share these learnings widely with stakeholders, emphasizing continuous improvement, growth, as of course, shared accountability rather than personal shortcomings. And the last and final one, integrate learning into future project planning. You want to visibly demonstrate applications of lessons learned by directly reinforcing past challenges and improvements. So we can also look at the project strategies during kickoffs, as well as reinforcing the value of that win-learn culture. Point number two, use the blame shield approach. What is the blame shield approach? You just coming up and creating things. Yeah, you know I am. I want to think outside the box because, see, when we absorb the initial blame tactically as a project manager and then methodologically redirect it towards the root cause, it protects your reputation while showing maturity. This is important because accepting initial blame tactfully shows maturity and leadership and strength. It deflects the emotional tension that may be in the room, the call, et cetera, and allows project managers to steer conversations towards what is the real thing? What is the real thing? Solutions. What's the real thing? The actual root cause, thus turning blame into a productive problem solving. Experiment with these actionable tips. Acknowledge initially responsibility professionally. Begin by neutrally stating your responsibility without being defensive. And I know, listen, family, I'm a work in progress, so I'm not going to lie and say that I get this right every time. But what I do get right is when I do get it right, I understand it demonstrates maturity. It demonstrates the most important piece of everything is emotional intelligence, which it diffuses the tension. Next one, identify shift focus to solutions. Transition conversations quickly from a blame to a specific action and root cause analysis, highlighting collective improvement rather than an individual fault. And the last and final one, follow up properly with documented actions. We want to document. If you're new to the episode, you know the motto, the slogan here, documentation beats conversation. So providing a clear documented action plan addresses root cause, not the surface layer, but we want to get to the root, thereby demonstrating proactive leadership and shifting stakeholders from focus of blame to actually resolution. Point number three, apply that early bad news principle. See, delivering bad news early prevents blame by ensuring stakeholders aren't blindsided. See, family, what happens a lot of times when you're leading a project and the ownership and why it went wrong and you feel frustrated, like, I wasn't the only one here, but you were the leader. And then you go through this whole emotional roller coaster. Okay, I'll talk about me since you don't want to be transparent. We go through this emotional roller coaster not knowing that if we would have delivered the news instead of trying to hide the news, because we feel like if we're too transparent about what's going on, we're going to get in trouble, or better yet, watch this. We think that it doesn't show that we have proper leadership, or why did they hire us? No. We need to deliver that bad news early so we can prevent surprises and emotional backlash. When stakeholders are informed properly, they view the project manager as transparent and trustworthy rather than a target for blame, reinforcing mutual respect. Experiment with these actionable tips. Define clear bad news escalation criteria. What does that look like? What is my escalation criteria looks like? Well, clarify exactly which types of project developments require immediate stakeholder notification and consistently adhere to these frameworks. Next one, deliver difficult news directly and personally. Don't run from it. You need to be that individual, that person, because you are the leader. You are the coach. You are that manager of that project, and you're leading it. So provide it early with direct communication, whether it's face-to-face or phone, for sensitive issues, reinforcing stakeholders' trust, and you are demonstrating respect. And the last and final one, pair negative updates with actionable steps. This is where I got to park in parenthetically, as I always say, because this frustrates me. So if I had the frustration meter, it would just be going up right now. And let me tell you, explain why. When you are a project manager, your goal, your mission, your job is to be able to provide actionable steps, aka a proposed solution, aka implementing that particular solution. So when you have an issue that happens, you need to do everything possible with the proposed solutions and implement them and see how they work. Because if not, what's the point of giving an actual update of a, hey, this actually happened, this is, you know, what's going on? And if I'm the CIO, the CEO, or if I'm a VP or the director of the PMO, whatever that is, I'm going to ask you one question. What did you and the team do? And if you say, oh, we didn't do anything, so no, that's not good. So we always want to accompany early bad news with proactive recommendations so we can demonstrate control over the situation, reassuring stakeholders that you're actively managing solutions. Point number four, foster a culture of shared ownership. This is the reason why a lot of times when a project manager gets a lot of blame is because one thing that project manager didn't do effectively is foster that culture of a shared ownership. Well, what is that, ED? Foster a culture of shared ownership. Well, let me unpack it for you. So projects with clear shared ownership makes it challenging for stakeholders to single out the project manager for Blaine. See, when you do this effectively, family, when you do this efficiently, you will have people that step up on your behalf and say, no, he wasn't the only one, or this project manager wasn't, we were all in this together. You're still going to get the conversation. You're still going to get the feedback. However, you still will have an opportunity to have people that support you. See, when everyone feels ownership, blame becomes harder to justify. Shared accountability naturally reduces what I call that I call it the Dikembe Mutombo. If you ever watch basketball, Dikembe Mutombo, anytime he would block your shot, he would wag his finger. So I call it the Dikembe Mutombo because the finger pointing, because stakeholders acknowledge collective responsibility rather than seeking an individual as a scapegoat. Experiment with these actionable tips. Visibly recognize team collaboration. Frequently acknowledge collective accomplishments publicly, emphasizing how team effort, not individual heroes, achieve project milestones. Next one, implement a team accountability charter. Jointly create a team agreement for defining responsibilities, decision-making process, and a collective commitment, not an interest. We know what we talk about, a commitment to the project. And just review it periodically. And the last and final one, promote team-driven problem solving. Oh, I love that one. That, you know, that makes my heart jump, as they say. Because regularly involving the entire team in troubleshooting sessions ensures they collectively own the challenges as well as the solution. And this reduces tendencies to assign individual blame. Point number five, execute a root cause stakeholder workshop. Workshop, yeah, we're talking about workshops. So you want to conduct workshop explicitly designed to reveal systematic or external factors behind these failures. Why is this important? Stakeholder participation uncovers root cause, and this promotes a collective, again, there's that word, collective responsibility, and ensures stakeholders internalize systematic issues, making them reluctant to place undue blame on the project manager itself, since they personally contribute to identifying the problem. Experiment with these actionable tips. Plan, structure, interactive workshops. Use clear frameworks. You ever heard of the five whys or the fishbone? Or there's so many of these techniques out here. This engages the stakeholder directly for root cause identification, ensuring active participation. Next one, facilitate unbiased open dialogue. What does that look like? That looks like engaging a neutral facilitator when possible to guide these workshops objectively, ensuring all voices are heard without bias or, most of all, defensiveness. And the last and final one, publish and follow up on workshop outcomes. There's no point of doing this workshop if we're not going to follow up, if we're not going to document, because if we don't, then what's going to end up happening, then everyone's going to feel like when you need to do this again, it was a waste of their time. So we want to clearly document workshop findings and circulate reports. This allows us to show that we've implemented an action plan with the stakeholders' accountability and ensuring participants feel their input was genuinely influenced the solution. Point number six, cultivate a project sponsor engagement. Actively engaged sponsor buffers the PM from blame by actively champion and supporting projects. Let me say this again. As the project manager, we're not running from blame. We're walking into the blame. But what we're saying is that it doesn't make sense for us to walk into the blame when we have a team. If there's things that we could have controlled, we need to control them. And I will reiterate that point again. But this is important that we engage sponsors because they carry a significant organizational influence. They provide crucial political as well as organizational backing. This allows the project manager to do what they came to do. And this also helps their authority, their credibility, and clearly align with the project manager actions and decisions. Experiment with these actionable tips. Schedule reoccurring sponsor checkpoints. And I know a lot of times project managers are like, man, I don't want to have these check-ins with the sponsor. You should, because this person is going to be your champion. This person is going to give you that opportunity to shield you from conversations or, ooh, I like this, distractions that are going to get in your way from having the success you and the team should have. So hold regular, dedicated one-on-one meetings. to keep the sponsor closely informed, engaged, and proactively supportive of your initiatives. Next one, clarify and document sponsor responsibility early in the project, you know, project charter, explicitly outline how the sponsor can assist, support, and escalate issues, reinforcing their ownership and involvement. And the last and final one, highlight sponsor visibility. Visible sponsors who are visible, whether that's public facing or on the call, whatever that looks like, you want to reinforce their commitment and active involvement in the project's success. Point number seven, adopt a no surprise communication policy. What's a no surprise? You don't like to be surprised, do you? So no surprise policies compel PMs and stakeholders alike to proactively communicate issues. This prevents blame due to unexpected outcomes. Why is this even important? Because preventing surprises keeps stakeholders consistently, and I do mean consistently, informed and maintaining their trust. Stakeholders who trust the project manager's communication are far less likely to blame them unfairly. That's the key word, unfairly, when projects face many difficulties. Experiment with these actionable tips. Establish a formal communication protocol. Clearly define communication frequency, whether that's going to be a weekly or immediate alerts or on high-risk issues, whatever that looks like within your organization, and ensure stakeholders always stay informed and aligned. The next one, create an early warning notification system. Set guidelines for immediate escalation when critical milestones are at risk or significant issues arise, preventing stakeholders being surprised. So I, on a serious note, what we need to understand there, family, is that when how we prevent stakeholders from being surprised is continuously communicating, and not just communicating where you're just sending emails and then you're like, well, I'll send it to you via email. We have to think of strategic ways to communicate with stakeholders. Maybe you get on the phone with a stakeholder or stakeholders or your project team and have that communication and recap it via email as a placeholder and put it on your SharePoint or wherever you hold documents, so you can also teach them how to fish, meaning that if some update or some changes are happening, you can point them to the SharePoint or, like I said, any repository that you leverage. And the last one, regular reinforced communication expectation. We all know the lack of understanding what the expectation is drives frustration. I get frustrated when I don't understand the expectation. You get frustrated when you don't clearly understand what the expectation is. So during meetings, explicitly remind stakeholders and team members about the no surprise commitment, promoting continuous transparency and accountability. Point number eight, leverage stakeholder advocates. This is my favorite. And the reason why this is my favorite is because having stakeholder allies can mitigate blame by providing credible third-party support during those difficult situations. And you will face it. If you haven't faced it yet as a project manager, it's going to show up at a door at your doorstep real soon. It is not a bad thing to happen, because you need to understand the ability to go through it. So having trusted allies serves as an impartial voice, defending your decisions in times of conflict. Their advocacy lends a credibility, preventing isolation of the project manager, and it dilutes the blame by reinforcing a collective nature of project decision. Experiment with these actionable tips. Identify influential stakeholder allies. Pinpoint stakeholders who carry significant influence and build a strategic relationship by involving them early in the decision-making and update process. Next one, regular brief your advocates privately. Provide concise, proactive updates on key decisions, emerging issues, and empowering them to advocate effectively on your behalf. And the last and final one, invite advocates into critical meetings. The reason why you want to do this, intentionally include your advocates in potentially providing that support for you, so it can balance the conversation, it can balance your validation, it can balance your objective support when discussions become challenging. Well, family, I appreciate if you made it this far. Remember, setbacks in projects aren't about assigning blame. They're opportunities to either win or learn. By embracing this powerful mindset, you can turn a difficult situation into a growth experience. It won't be easy, though. I'll be honest with you. This will not be easy. No. But this is why it is important to, for you to always foster a culture of shared ownership so your team collectively can navigate challenges. Being able to apply early bad news principle proactively, building trust through transparency communication. And last and finally, and mostly importantly, consistently leading by example, showing your team that accountability isn't about being perfect. It's about being resilient, resourceful, and most of all, ready to grow. I'll close with this. Transform your blame into your best teacher and watch your influence as a leader soar. I go by the name ED for all you smart and intelligent folks out there. Hey, that just simply means Ed. Until next time.